Word's good, amen? You know, David said this. He said, I rejoiced. I rejoiced. You know, rejoicing looks like something. He said, I rejoiced at your word as one who found great spoil. Or one translation says, I rejoiced at your word as one who struck it rich. Because the word, you see, money can do things for you financially, but the word can do things for you all the way. We know that money, and now when I say this, people say, well, hand it to me, we'll try this out. But we know money in itself can't bring true joy. I mean, we see Hollywood all the time. They die of overdoses and, you know, depression and always in and out of rehab and stuff. Money didn't buy them. Fame didn't buy them that. But the word can bring you joy. The word can bring you the prosperity. God's way without sorrow. The word can bring you health. The word can bring you victory. And so when David said, I rejoiced at your word as one who struck it rich, we have a lottery ticket in the word of God. Everything that we could ever struggle with, any answer that we ever need is found in this book. And God is so faithful to not leave us here to wander, to leave us here to wonder. He's given us the roadmap to success. You know, if you were to take a trip to Disney or anywhere, you know, you could get on Google Maps or MapQuest or get out an atlas if you're old school, right? I wouldn't even know how to find it. I'd end up somewhere else. But anyways, you know, it gives you destinations. It tells you how to get to certain places. Well, the word is your roadmap to prosperity, to peace, to joy, to victory, to health, all sorts of things. And praise God for it. Amen? That's why we rejoice over his word. But before we get into the word, let's pray and ask him to help us this morning. Father, we need your help. Lord, I definitely need it as the minister here this morning. Speak through me. Father, I pray that my words would not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. And Father, you know every single person's needs here. So Father, I pray that I would say something that would strike a chord in every single person's heart that is in this building and is listening by live stream. Father, I thank you that I'll say something that will be so pertinent to their lives that it will be unmistakable that you care about them and undeniable, Father, that you love them and want nothing but good things for them. And Lord, only you can do that. Only you know the hearts of men. Only you know what's behind closed doors and what people are struggling with and what people are going through. So Father, we'll make sure to give you the glory and you the praise. Father, I am very aware of who I am before you, Lord. I am just the branch in a vine. I understand that apart from you, I can do nothing. Because Father, apart from you, I did nothing, and I proved that. So Lord, we'll not rob any of the praise. We'll not rob or hijack any of your glory. We know anything good that comes out of today, it's because of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can open your Bibles to two spots, Romans 5 and verse 17. We're not going to spend a lot of time on these verses. Michelle, you can put up Romans 5, 17 if you would. That'd be a blessing. And then, of course, Philippians 4, 19, which is a very popular one. But they're good places to leap from today, from what we're looking at. I shared some of this stuff last night. It's going to be a little different today, but boy, it was amazing the utterance that came out and the different rabbit trails. And you know, as I listen to ministers like, you know, Brother Hagin or Pastor Nancy, she could be talking about a specific subject, but how many of you know there's different needs in the congregation? And the Holy Ghost will just lead you. So I endeavor to be sensitive to those things because, you know, I don't want to just stick to one thing and say it's going to be my way. No, we want it his way. Hallelujah. But Romans 5 and verse 17, I'm going to read through these two verses, and we're going to jump from there this morning. It says, for if by one man's offense death reigned, talking about when Adam sinned in the garden, then death took over. It says, for if one man's offense death reigned by the one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, or talking about people that are born again. He says, those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Now, we've talked about that before, reigning in life. You ought to dominate your circumstances. You ought to be the master of your own world, praise God. And the Bible says you have a legal right to do that. When you accept Jesus, you have a right to reign in life. Now, maybe you're not reigning in life. Well, if you're not, that ought to tick you off. Am I allowed to say that? I mean, that's okay, right? It ought to tick you off and make you mad and say, I'm living below what the Bible says I can have. And so we need to find out how to get that in your life. But what I want to point out to you is not the fact that you're to reign in life. When I mean reign in life, is a big thing. You ought to reign in your family. I don't mean being dominating over your family and, you know, one of these. I mean reigning like your family ought to be blessed and your finances and your body and your situations and your business and your job. That's reigning in life. Aren't you glad he just didn't say you ought to reign in one area? No, he said you ought to reign in life, praise God. But what I want you to notice, it says by one Jesus Christ. Don't forget that. Your reigning is dependent on doing it through Jesus, okay? You're not in your own kingdom here. Yes, you are meant to reign in life, but you are not in your own kingdom. It's not Pastor Mike's world and everyone else is living in it, right? It's not your world and everyone else is just living in it. No, you will reign in life depending or not on by, reigning comes by one Jesus Christ, doing it through his word. Now go to Philippians 4 and verse 19. And you'll kind of see the direction we're going from this portion of scripture. It says, but my God, hallelujah, shall supply. That word shall is an indicator of his will. It's yes, I will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So what we are kind of talking about today is finances, but if the Lord leads us, we'll hit on a bunch of things. If you say, man, I'm doing great financially, don't tune me out. Praise God. You can always do better financially, but also there's utterance in different things that can be spoken through. It happened last night. It was awesome. But it said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So there's another indicator of a portion of your life. Finances and money and your needs are not your whole life. You still have healing. You still have your family. You still have your job. You still have things you like to do, recreation, desires that are in your heart to enjoy and things like that. But now the Bible's telling you that the God's will for your life financially is to always have a supply. To always have a supply. Praise God. Now, see, I repeat that because so many people are used to living without a supply. So many people have accepted the fact that there's just never going to be enough. That it's always going to be paycheck to paycheck. Listen, stop accepting less than what God has for you. Don't be okay having less than what the Bible says you can have. Don't ever be okay with it. Man, if hell knocks on my door and I open it and there's hell staring me in the face, I don't quiver and accept, well, this is the way it's got to be. No, that's when I get the fight of faith out. That's when I dig in the trenches and I pull out what I've been taught and I say, this is not going to overtake what I have and what belongs to me. But the Bible says that you should have all your needs met according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So if we look at your life as a whole in that particular portion, that verse, if that verse looked like what it said in your life, that would be reigning financially, wouldn't it? Having all your needs met. I mean, all your needs, everything. And if you even go further into that, the Bible wants you to have enough left over so you can be a sower and generous. And the Bible wants you to have enough left over to leave an inheritance to your children's children. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Well, how much money does God expect you to have to be generous to the church, be generous in life, and to have all your needs met, and to be prosperous to be able to put money away? It's showing you God's idea is he wants you blessed. And so I point that out because it's not just, well, he wants you just to have enough food, just one pair of clothes. No, he wants you blessed in abundance. But what I want you to see is just like that verse in Romans 5 said that you reign in life by one. It says, now I'm not going to be able to reach this one, but I will just say this, riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your needs being supplied. And you can look reigning in life. Maybe you necessarily don't need to reign in life financially. Maybe you have that area and you're doing well in that area. Well, what's your physical life look like? What's your children look like? What's your business look like? What's your joy? What's your thought life? What's your anxiety level? What's your care level? And so maybe it's something else and you can apply it. Today we are going to hit on the financial realm because that's what's on my heart. But you can apply the Bible principles to anything that you're going through. You know, and so it says that you will have all your needs met. You will reign in life by, or it's only going to happen by Jesus Christ, doing it his way, doing it the Word's way. So right off the bat, Pastor Mike's just starting to step on your toes already and telling you, stop doing it your way. Stop thinking you know what's best. Stop with the pride. Stop with the thinking you know everything. And I'm talking to myself here. And start doing it his way and watch things start to change. Amen. God has a supply for you financially. God has a full supply for you financially. He never wants you to lack. He never wants you to struggle. He always wants you in abundance. He wants when those tests and trials come for you to have victory over them. Praise God. Amen. We know that because Job, I mean, people say, oh, poor old Job. That's not an accurate statement. Job went through a heavyweight trial, but he wasn't poor. In fact, the Bible, if you study what he had in today's terms, he was a millionaire. And the Bible says he was the greatest man in the land. And so Job was a millionaire, and it's interesting when Satan came and stole it. Remember, Satan came and stole it. Because remember Job said, see, here's one of those rabbit trails. Remember Job said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away? That was not a true statement. It was in there, and it's in the Bible. But God didn't take from Job. It clearly says in the first chapter that Satan came and stole from Job. Now, Job's heart was right when he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. He wasn't like mad at God. He was saying, you know, the Lord blessed me with all this. He has the right to take it away. His heart was right. His doctrine was way wrong. But Christians have jumped on us. The Bible says the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Yeah, the Bible says that, but it wasn't a true statement. It was from a man who repented later in the book and said, I repent. I've said things that I didn't know. He didn't know that there was a loving God that was for him. But anyways, why I bring up Job is the Bible, if you look at his substance, just what the Bible mentions, he was a millionaire. Now, if you look at all the animals and substance he had, it doesn't mention anything about how many acres and thousands of acres of land he would have had to have to support that. Doesn't talk about anything agricultural that he would have used that land for and possibly sold things. Just what the Bible mentions, Job was a millionaire. And you know, Satan came and took it all. And then Job was God's man and God went to restore Job. Notice God was not against Job being a millionare. God didn't say, well, you know, Job, you had way too much before the devil robbed you. I'm just going to give you a little bit back. No. If there was any time to see if God's for or against prosperity, it would have been when his own man, Job, had nothing and was brought down to nothing because God was the only way he was going to get it back. That would have been the time to see, okay, let's see how God feels about prosperity. But you know how God feels about prosperity? He doubled the man. Doubled the man. You know, Brother Hagin, I had a vision of Jesus, and Jesus said, you know, I don't have a problem with people having stuff. I have a problem when stuff has people. God does not have a problem with you having good things. He has a problem when the good things have you and have control of your heart. And so God gave it back to Job, but he didn't just restore him. I mean, it would have been great to just become a millionaire again, but he became a double millionaire. Praise. That's even a term. I don't even know, but it's good stuff anyways. So God has finances for you. He has reigning in life for you, but it has to come through Jesus Christ. We have a lot of rogue Christians in the body of Christ, rebel Christians. Want to do it their own way. That want they don't want to submit. They don't want to submit to a pastor. They don't want to. And when I say submit to a pastor, again, we're not talking about drinking the Kool-Aid. Don't get weird on me. When I'm talking about being in church, like the Bible says, hearing the Word of God, doing the Word of God. It's one thing to be here, hear it, but it's another thing to do it. And do what people want to do it their own way, and they wonder why it's not working out. It's a constant struggle. It's like they're that truck that's stuck in the mud and they're just spinning their tires. And if they take an honest look at their life, they could say, I'm not happy with how things are. Things are supposed to be better than this. Let me tell you, things are supposed to be better than that. They are supposed to be, but so many times people are doing their own thing. They love reigning in life, but they want to reign in their own kingdom. You don't have a kingdom big enough to help you reign in this life. You are a king, and you are a priest in God's kingdom, doing it by Jesus. When you do it his way, you can step into that authority of reigning and ruling and having all your needs met and being provided for and having the finances. Glory to God. Now go with me to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. And I'm going to really help you today with some things walking out of here. Always give you homework when you leave here. Because I'm big on practical preaching. It helped me last night when Brother Hagin, Jeff and I, when we drive to Olean, we put in Brother Hagin tapes, and we just listened to the Word on the way up and the way back. And it's been a blessing, hasn't it? Amen. And it's just been really helping us. And he said this, he said, if you ever hear a sermon that's too hard for you to understand or you don't understand, he said it wasn't from God. And that helped me because I know I'm just the most simplest person in the world, and I'm not saying that from a bragging standpoint. I'm saying it might be nice for me to be a little bit more, I don't know, deep and in depth, but I know simple, I understand simple, and it helped me because I feel like a lot of times the stuff I say is like, man, is that really helping people? It just seems like that's just anybody can understand, but I guess that's the way it's supposed to be. You don't want it to go zipping over your head, and I've been in places where it zips over my head, and I'm like, I don't even know what he said. I could read that over, it doesn't even matter. It's over. It's gone. Sayonara. But anyways. And so the Bible here says in Isaiah 1 and verse 19, another thing you'll have to never worry about me is not telling it the way it is. I told the Lord from the beginning, I'll preach the Word from front to back. I'll say whatever you want me to say. You've brought me out of such terrible things that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So you won't have to worry about that. We'll put it plain. It'll be very easy to understand. Your toes might hurt from time to time, but it'll be good. It says if. Now, that word cannot be overlooked in that verse. If. I love that he starts that verse with a big fat if. And then the next word is ye, or that'd be a good old-fashioned King James way of saying you. So it's talking about you. Everybody say me. He's directing it to you. He says, if you. Well, don't you want to know what's after the if you? Because that's telling you have a responsibility to something. It says, if you be willing and obedient, there's a reaction to that, then you'll eat the good of the land. Now, let me point this out real quick, because some of you, maybe, I don't understand how this could be for anybody, because I just love food so much. Maybe you're thinking, I don't care about eating the good of the land. Well, let me ask you this. If God says you're going to eat the good of the land and provide a feast for you where it's the good of the land, you know, living off SpaghettiOs and ramen noodles is not the good of the land. Now, you might love them, and don't get offended, but let's face it, that does not beat a prime rib, a T-bone steak, a nice Italian meal that's just wonderful, whatever you, you know, surf and turf, let's face it. Now, praise God. So if God wants you to pull up to a wonderful meal, good of the land, do you think he wants you showing up in the good of the, eating the good of the land, wearing the garbage of the land? No, so if he wants you to eat the good of the land, he definitely wants you to wear the good of the land. Do you think God wants you showing up to that feast and getting out of your car that's got four different colored doors and holes right through it and four baldy tires on it and a window you can't roll up? Now, I've had cars like that, and if you have a car like that, praise God, it doesn't have to be that way forever. It doesn't have to be that way forever, and we're not beating you up and saying you're wrong. We're saying there's more for you. But if he wants you to eat the good of the land, he definitely wants you to drive the good of the land. You think God wants you getting ready for the good of the land feast in your shack and in your house that's falling apart and nothing's working in it and there's, you know, it's like a cardboard box living on the side of the street? You think God wants you doing that? No. If he wants you to eat the good of the land, he wants you to live in the good of the land. He wants you to wear the good of the land. He wants you to drive the good of the land. He does. Don't be all religious on me. Say amen, Pastor Mike. That is awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that ought to make you happy. That your God wants blessing for you. And he said, but I want blessing for you, but you got to be willing and you got to be obedient. And I like to help people with these two things because I'm very aware that things didn't start breaking free in my life in revelation from God and prosperity and financial things and the plan of God in my life did not just start flooding through to me until I became willing and obedient. And let's face it, I still got a ways to go in the obedience factor. I mean, there's still things that I need to work on. I mean, don't we all, right? Nobody's ever standing from a platform saying, oh, I'm much better than you. No, we all have stuff. Let's face it, we all have stuff. But praise God, we got a merciful God that helps us deal with our stuff. Amen. I'm so glad. But, you know, I was not willing. And y'all laugh at this story, and it is laughable because, I mean, it's just dumb thinking that I used to have. But I never became willing to him once I got born again. Why? Because I didn't want to go to China or Africa. I was convinced God was going to send me. That if I gave and I accepted Jesus, became born again, but I was kind of running from his plan, running from the word a little bit, because I did not want to be a missionary to China or Africa. I didn't. I'll be honest. I thought for sure that's where everybody goes when they get saved, right off to China and Africa. And so I just thought I'll be a disobedient child and at least I'll get heaven. But you know what the problem is? A lot of people use Christ as fire insurance. It gets them into heaven, but the problem is they live like hell on earth. And I don't mean just like the way they're living their life. Life is actually hell on earth for them till they get to heaven. It doesn't need to be that way. God has provided heaven on earth. In fact, Jesus prayed, may your will in heaven be done on the earth. Well, willing and obedient, and I tell the story. I tell it on purpose over and over again because the nuggets are in the story a lot of times. And I was, I got to a place where, man, I was... Here I'm hearing my pastor preach about finance. I'm seeing people around me being blessed. And it's not happening for me. I'm not hearing God's voice, and I'm not, and I'm struggling. I'm struggling physically, struggling in relationships, struggling financially. And I remember driving to the general store in Falconer, where I worked at a convenience store, to get there in the morning to make the coffee. And it was somewhere between 4 and 5. I can't remember exactly what time I had to be there. It was dark, and it was cold. And I remember driving there and just being disgusted. I was in my 1990 Nissan pickup that had the different color things and the scratches and the holes and the things that didn't work and the rust and the baldy tires. That was me, by the way, when I talk about that. That was me. And I just wasn't happy. I mean, it's no fun. Don't tell me that poverty's fun. Don't try to tell me that poverty and not having enough, you're okay with it. You're lying. We'll call you up and we'll hope that a gift of the Spirit manifests and we'll cast that lying devil out of you. It's not fun to be broke. It's not fun to be beat up in life. That's just not a fun way to live. And so I'm driving there and I'm so mad that I got to go make coffee for these people. And I'm just mad that I have this job and I just want something better, you know, something with insurance, something that pays better. I'm just grumbling and griping and complaining about everything. And Lord brought this verse to my heart. He said, you're not willing and obedient. Why do you think you're not eating the good of the land? Why do you expect? See, people expect to eat the good of the land without doing what the word says. That's why I said, you want to reign, you got to do it through Jesus. You want to have all your needs met? You got to do it through Jesus. Amen? And he said, you're not willing and obedient. And he brought it up to me, China and Africa. I said, Lord, I don't want to go there. I remember crying that out in the truck. And he spoke this on the inside of my heart. He said, who said I was going to send you there? And a light bulb went off. I said, oh, you never did say you would. And from that point on, I said, okay, Lord, you said I'll be willing and obedient. I'll eat the good of the land. I surrendered in my truck. I remember the tears were. There's something about, there's freedom to surrendering. People think you're giving your life away and your life, that's it, you're in trouble now. No, that's when you start to gain your life. When you say, I can't do it anymore on my own, it's not working, things are struggling. Lord, help me, take my life. There's a freedom in that, and the tears just began to flow because it was like a million pound weight had been lifted off my chest. And stop doing it yourself, Mr. Anderson, is what I'd tell myself. And so I said, Lord, I said, if you tell me to go to Africa or China, I'll do it. And I will get there as fast as I can, and I will be happy about it. And I will have joy on my face, and I will serve you, and I'll live there for the rest of my life. It means if I have to give up archery hunting and American sports and American cheeseburgers that's the kind of stuff that was like really bothering me. If I have to give that stuff up for the rest of my life, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it, and I'll be happy to do it. And so I did. I surrendered, and it wasn't long after I was in a service, and I heard the audible voice of God. The only time I ever heard it, the audible voice of God told me and spoke up to me and said, "Go to Rhema." It was like days after I had surrendered. Said, "Go to Rhema." The hair on my arm stood up. It was during a salvation call, and I popped up and I looked around. I said, "Who said that?" Everybody else had their heads bowed and eyes closed. And again, I'm a crier. The tears began to fall. And I was in the presence of God, and I had direction for my life. And things began to pop in my life like popcorn. But it didn't happen until I became willing to do whatever for God. And so I ask you this today. What is it that God could ask you to do that you would absolutely say no to him on? Because if there is something, those are the areas that are hindering the good of the land coming to you. It's not that God's going to ask you to do it. It's not that God's going to require you to do it. But Jesus said this. He said, they that lose their life will find it. Do you know what losing your life is? It means you don't have control of it anymore. That means you have to do whatever he says because it's not yours. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ. The life I now live, I live by faith through the Son of God. Well, if we've been crucified with Christ, that means we're dead. You know what a dead man has? A dead man has no wishes. A dead man has no wants. A dead man has no desires because they're dead. You die to yourself. But Jesus was trying to encourage you, saying, listen, it's not a give up. He's saying, if you give up, you're not going down. If you give up, you're going to go up higher than you've ever been before. And that's what I'm talking about, that surrendering. Lord, I'll do whatever. I'll do whatever it is. If you call me to do this, I'll do it. If you tell me to leave this job, I'll do it. If you tell me to talk to this person, I'll do it. It doesn't mean you're going to have to do those things, but just get into the place of, Lord, no matter what you say, I'll do it, because the good of the land depends on it. But then there's another part of that verse. It says willing and obedient, right? If you want to eat the good of the land, which has included all your needs met and reigning in life financially, you got to be obedient. Well, obedient to what? Number one, obedient to the Word. Obedient to the Word. You know, there's some of us, we know things in the Word, we're just not doing it. Well, that's hindering the good of the land. And you know, we're talking about finances, and it goes far beyond a financial example. But you need to first obey the Word. I'm going to bang the drum on tithing and giving right now. And I don't mind doing it. You know why? Because I've proven it. It works. And I've proven it in many other people's lives. And I've seen the tears of people that have run up to me and said, thank you for sharing tithing with me. Because if I didn't know about it, I would have stayed in the same financial place. So if you can't even be faithful at first to obey in tithes and offerings, tithes and offerings, God calls you to be a giver. If you can't be faithful to do that, you're going to have a hard time eating the good of the land. You got to be obedient in those things. Praise God. What about being obedient in other things? Sometimes people have no idea that they think, well, I'm struggling financially because I must be doing something wrong financially. Not necessarily. I remember one guy had a problem with his rotator cuff. I've told the story many times. He couldn't get his healing. Believed in healing. Was in many healing lines. Had a messed up shoulder from a baseball injury. And just could not get his healing. Now, you'd think naturally or from a physical perspective, oh, maybe he's overworking it. Maybe he's doing something wrong. It wasn't his faith. He believed in healing. He believed in the Word. He could quote the Scriptures. He believed he received, but it never manifested. When it's not manifesting, that's a problem. When it's not manifesting, it's a problem. Just so you know, it's a problem. There is a faith or a patience aspect, but if it's not manifesting and it's going and going, there's a problem there. It's like, Houston, we have a problem. We need to diagnose what's the issue here. Remember we talked about that last week? If it ain't working for you, I mean, light bulb, just ask him, Lord, what am I doing wrong? And he'll point it out and say, make this adjustment. Hallelujah. But most of the time, we do know what we're doing wrong. And so anyways, he had a shoulder injury, and it really bothered him, and he was frustrated. Lord, I believe in healing. I see the scripture. I know Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I know he died for my sickness. I know healing is in the covenant with you. I know people have been anointed with the power of God, have healing in their hands, and I'm just not getting it. What's the problem, Lord? And the Lord said to him, you won't forgive your dad who did something when he was years ago. Now, here's the thing about that. Let me make this qualify that statement. There are things that people have been wronged by. Absolutely. There's things that people have done to people that naturally justify anger, can justify bitterness, can justify frustration, can justify, you know, just holding resentment and harboring wrong feelings. Naturally. But the Word of God doesn't give you any place to hold a grudge, any offense, anything against anybody. That's what the Word says. Jesus said in Mark 11, 23 and 24, he said in 23, you'll have what you say. In 24, he said, you'll have what you pray. But then he said in 25, and if you have anything against anyone, that kind of covers everything. Anything against anyone. Now, let me tell you, there's people that have wronged me. There's people that have wronged you. You are justified in thinking they did me wrong. Absolutely. But where you're not justifying is not forgiving them. Didn't Christ forgive you? As Christ forgave you, so ought we to forgive. Jesus hung there in the presence of people that beat him to a pulp, nailed things in his hands and his feet, put a crown of thorns on his head, beat his back till he was hamburger meat, spit on him, cursed him. Here he was, the Son of God. He had all the power in the world to call angels, legions of angels, to get him off and to smite these people. And you know what he said? Father, forgive them. You say, well, that was Jesus. Yeah, but the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. The love of God. You have that ability. Now, let me help you with this going forward, because sometimes people's financial things, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell on myself. I love telling on myself. I got so many examples of me being stupid and messing up that you don't ever have to worry about me using your examples, because I'm not going to get through. Like Brother Hagin said, he's got enough people calling him to take him 2 weeks into the millennium. I got enough examples of me messing up to take me 3 weeks into the millennium. So praise God. But sometimes obedience, they don't understand. It's a direct correlation. And in this case, it was unforgiveness. Well, it could be anything. Unforgiveness is just being disobedient to the Word. It could be not tithing, not bringing an offering. It could be not walking in love. It could be not obeying what God has put in your heart. Anything that has to do with obedience. But, you know, it's interesting. It was the way it was last night. Forgiveness was such a main thing, and I had people, a couple of people that came up in tears and saying, my goodness, I needed that, and I was wondering why I was hammering on it so hard, and it seems to be heavy in my spirit today, so I want to obey what the Holy Ghost is saying, because I don't want to get in trouble. But let me help you with forgiveness, because forgiveness is a hard thing, but this will help you. It blessed me so much when I learned this. Forgiveness is not a feeling. Oh, thank God. I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait to feel like I forgive somebody before I do it. That helps me. Because if I wait till I feel it, I ain't ever forgiving them. Because in my flesh and my mind, I'm thinking of all the ways I can... You don't even want to know what's going through my head. You'll have me arrested. I'm serious. I'm just being honest. You know people have wronged you. You know, right? But that ain't the love of Christ. You imagine what was going through his mind and his flesh? Can you imagine having an army of angels at your disposal and just say, get them, boys, and restraining that because love, you let love dominate you. See, forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a decision. It's not a feeling, and that helps me. I don't have to feel it before I do it. I just got to do it. And then from that point on, I don't let it run my life. What do I mean? When a thought comes about them, I don't take wrong thoughts anymore. I cast them down. When I see them, I don't treat them a certain way. When I talk, I don't ever talk bad about them anymore. Doesn't mean I still don't feel it. Doesn't mean that the thoughts never rush in. It's just I act a different way now because I've released them. Just like Jesus released you and isn't holding it against you, you ought to thank your lucky stars that he's not holding it against you. Stop holding it against them, right? He said, Father, they don't know. If people would know, they wouldn't act like idiots and do something wrong against you. There's just a lot of idiots running around, right? And you've all been an idiot, and I have too. Where we've done things, and we did something stupid, but thank God for his mercy. I was, I've told this story, it's funny. I was, The Jamestown Church started in fall of 2003 in the Holiday Inn, and I was helping a little bit, and I was actually at Raymond coming back to help with that work, and started the work with like the looking for the building and helping set up the Holiday Inn. Well, I asked Courtney to, we got engaged on New Year's Day of 2004, and we'd set the wedding for June of 2004. Well, in April of 2004, when I was at Raymond, my dad had a debilitating stroke that's just changed his life forever. I mean, just it's gets worse and worse, but thank God he's saved and he's going to heaven. My dad's not a big believer in divine healing and doesn't have a revelation on that, so my hope is when he gets to heaven. So that's what I keep my mind at, but it's just messed him up and messed him up bad back then. And so I had to move back from Rhema, and I moved in with him. And I was spending in April probably 16 to 17 hours in the nursing home. And a lot of it was done out of fear. I see that now. I was so afraid he wasn't getting the care that he deserved and that people were neglecting him because he was unable to do anything. So my sister and I would stay there, and we just were exhausted. Well, at the time the Jamestown Church started, Pastor Tim wasn't Pastor Tim, and it was Reverend Randy and Pastor Tim were two of the big people helping that work get off the ground. And my dad was in the nursing home that was about a five-minute drive away from Reverend Randy's house. Well, the year before, we had made a wiffle ball field at Reverend Randy's house. I mean, we had the fence and everything. It was great. And so in April, it started to get nicer. We started to get the stuff out to play that and enjoy it. And I started getting really bitter and started getting really mad. Now, this is going to help people. At Pastor Tim and Reverend Randy, Pastor Tim has been like a brother to me since fourth grade. I mean, we've yet to find two friends that have been as close and experienced as much as and have, you know, stayed true as far as our friendship that I've come in contact with. It's very special. And Reverend Randy is one that led me to the Lord. He's very dear to my heart. And I started to get really bitter and angry with them because I was spending 16, 17 hours a day, and they weren't coming around enough. What am I talking about? Putting expectations on people? Do you know your life would be a whole lot easier if you wouldn't put expectations on people? Because people, when they don't meet it, oh, that's when the bitterness comes. Don't expect anything out of anyone and you'll be blessed. Because then when they do something good, it'll be, whoa, wow. And then when they do something wrong, it's, oh, I didn't expect anything different out of them anyways. Right? Now, let me qualify that statement. They weren't doing a thing wrong. It wasn't their job to be at that nursing home. It wasn't their job to tend and care for my dad. Absolutely not. Now, if they were to say, well, we could have done something different, that's on them. But I'm telling you, from my standpoint, they were doing nothing wrong. But when you have 16, 17 hours in a nursing home, I'll tell you what, they're not fun places. And I just began to stew and get angry and upset from April to May. And let me tell you something. I would walk into church. Now, this is your pastor, the one that you're actually coming to hear from God from, would walk into church. And there was about a 4 or 5 week period where if I heard one of their voices or saw one of their faces, I was so full of bitterness and resentment, I turned around and walked right out of that church. Your pastor used to do that to another pastor and another minister. Yeah, that's how bad the resentment. And you've all been there. You know what it's like. It just eats you up. But I noticed when I came back from Rhema, we were poorer than ever. Physically, things were breaking down. Our relationship wasn't going strong, and we're supposed to get married here in June, and things aren't going so well. Life is chaotic. And the Lord again brought up Isaiah 119. He said, you're not being willing and obedient. I told you in my word to forgive. I told you in my word to walk in love. Why do you expect to have anything different if you're not doing those things? And so I said, you're right, Lord. And I remember that they were about ready to give up on me. They were. That's how bad it had gotten. It just, we don't know what to do with them. I remember just absolutely chewing out Reverend Randy on the phone, telling him just what I thought of him. And I was wrong. And I'm not going to your stupid church anymore. And that stupid church saved my life. That stupid church taught me more than anything that I've ever known. That stupid church has put things in me that now I'm able to share with my family and help with my family. And so that stupid church that I wanted to leave is the very thing that the devil was trying to sever me from. And I said, Lord, I don't enjoy not eating the good land. I remember when I wasn't eating the good land in 2002, in my truck I surrendered and things got better. So I said, Lord, I forgive them. I release them. Even if they've done wrong or didn't do wrong, I release them. I'm not going to hold a grudge. I went in that church, give them hugs. Thoughts would still come in my head. Oh, they don't care about me. They're not coming around. Stop with that stuff. Stop with that stuff. If your hope's in Jesus, you don't need all the pats on the back. You don't need all the people to meet your standards. I tell you, I've had people say, Pastor didn't look at me the right way. Pastor didn't hug me or Pastor didn't talk to me the way he should. Listen, you know, if you just know all from the get-go that I love you and care about you, Man, maybe I just didn't get to you. Maybe I looked at you the wrong way. I didn't mean to. I'm always happy and so glad to see you. But I'll tell you, that's what people, they put these expectations. Oh, Pastor doesn't hang out with me enough. Well, I'm not supposed to hang out with you. Do you understand that? That the shepherd is not, the shepherd and the sheep are not meant for personal mingle. There's a doesn't mean I can't fellowship with you. Doesn't mean that we can never get together. I'm talking about people have gotten mad in the past and offended. Oh, Pastor doesn't do this with me. Pastor doesn't do that with me. You got the relationship wrong. You need to receive from heaven from me. Amen. Doesn't mean I'm above you, that there's a role. And it doesn't mean we can't go to dinner. Doesn't mean I can't come to your house. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about these false expectations that people have in life, and it causes grudges. So I was bitter, and here we were getting married, and Courtney's parents were about as scared as could be that she was marrying me. I had nothing to offer her. Nothing. No degree, nothing good. She had a degree from Indiana University of Pennsylvania in child development. And we forgave because, you know, my bitterness was getting off into her because I'm sitting there talking bad about them all the time. I mean, yes, I was talking bad about them all the time and how, I'd say, yeah, Pastor Tim's up there leading worship. People knew about that jerk. I mean, that's what I was saying to her. And it'd rub off onto her. That's the way I was. It was eating me alive. Unforgiveness and bitterness is like you drinking poison and hoping the other person dies for it. You're just hurting yourself. You're just hurting those around you. You are, I'm telling you. And so anyways, I shared this last night to help people. Hopefully it's helping you. It's fun to hear when you're telling other people, right? When I'm not telling on you and I'm telling on me, it's fun to say, Praise God. And so we repented. And I remember Courtney running into the nursing home and saying, I got the job that we applied for. It was like, I can't remember how many days after we had repented. I got that job. And that job that she got, she became the child care director of the YWCA in Jamestown over the whole program. It was like the top level for her degree that she got. She got that job, and that job carried us for 8 years. 8 years that job carried us. She was the breadwinner. Do you say, didn't that hurt your pride? Nope. I was glad she made the most money. It was awesome. I was so pumped for my wife. She deserved it. She went to school. She did the work for it. I was thrilled for her. So excited for her. And that job carried us. And then after that, that happened in May is when she got that job. And then I got hired in the fall going into the winter of 2004. At the after-school program in Jamestown, that in the paper, remember, I never had a job with benefits. I never had a job with a salary. It was always minimum wage, and you ain't getting nothing. That's what I had always had in my life. This job in the paper was full-time benefits, full-time salary, 401k, all the good stuff, but they required a bachelor's degree. Guess who doesn't have a bachelor's degree? But the Holy Ghost said, call anyways. And they, for some reason, took me into my interview. I don't know if they didn't ask me about my qualifications on the phone, but they took me in. And I knocked that interview so out of the park, they changed the guidelines of what it took to get that job. That's the Holy Ghost. That's God. That's eating the good of the land. I maxed out my pay scale, and I had someone else in a different after-school program trying to pull me away. And they were going to be able to offer me more money because it was a different program. And my department said, we are going to restructure the whole financial thing so you'll stay, praise God. So when they told me I couldn't make any more, bull, I did, praise God. Don't box God in. Well, how can God do this? I only make this much. He's God. Amen. How can God help me? I only make this. I'm on a fixed income. Well, Dr. Dufresne would say, who fixed your income? You're fixing it by your words. Your income's not fixed. You think God's, you say you're making a social security check every month. Oh, I can't, how can I be blessed apart? You think God's limited by your social security check? You think God's limited by your income? He's stinking God. He flung the world into existence by his words. He ain't afraid of some social security check or some income or some paycheck. I'm so thankful that my needs are not met according to my riches and glory because it would not get the job done. Supernatural provision. See, the thing you got to factor in is there's no supernatural button on the calculator. See, your faith gets all ruined when you do everything on the calculator. Yeah, we're just preaching here today. When you do all these things on the calculator, it doesn't come out. But you forgot to press the supernatural button. You forgot to factor in there's a supernatural button there. And your words are keeping that supernatural button from happening. Stop saying this is the way it always is. I'm so tired of business owners. If you said it to me, yes, I'm talking to you. I'm so tired of people saying, this time of year is always slow. Why? Stop saying that. Start saying it's going to thrive. Start saying things are different. Start saying new opportunities are coming. Yes, I'm pumped up and fired up this morning because I want you blessed. And we do this. And no, you forgot. There's a supernatural button with God. And when you hit that, things change. It's supernatural to get a job that you're not qualified for. It's supernatural to raise a pay scale when it's a federal thing in an after-school program that's run by the government where they restructure things to pay you more to keep you. That's supernatural. It's supernatural for Courtney to get the job that she did and beat out people that had no experience. And people that had master's degrees and have run after school programs and daycares for years. It's supernatural. But when you walk in God's blessings, that's what your life is. The mark is supernatural. David said this. He said, surely, and we're going to have to pick this second part up next week. He said, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I always say, I got two stalkers on my rear end. Goodness and mercy. Everywhere I look, they're tracking me down. That's the way your life is to be. Wow, do we really only do one verse today? I'll tell you, wouldn't you rather have utterance from the Holy Ghost than 3 points in a poem and all something? I'd rather have this because we hit on a lot of things today. Yeah, if you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. You say, I don't know what to be obedient on. That's bull. Yeah. If the dog gets kicked in the middle of the night, your leg didn't get up out of bed and do it itself. Right? Right? Yeah. What am I saying? You know the areas you're missing it in. Yeah. You know, I mean, and if you're saying, I'm stumped, Lord, I don't know, ask him, he'll show you. Because the Lord chastens or corrects those whom he loves. He'll say, okay, you're missing it in this area. You're missing it in this area. There's unforgiveness. There's a love walk. There's a financial thing. There's a bitterness. We could fill in the blank with a million things. He'll show you if you don't know. But most of the time, we know when we kick the dog in the middle of the night. You know, the dog wakes up with a black eye. Who did that? I don't know. My foot's sore, but I don't know. Right? Come on. We know if we're willing to admit it. But here's the thing. God just wants to help you. And let me just real quick say this in closing. Nobody's beating anybody over the head. I am the first to always say I am a number one in the list of screw-ups and mess-ups. 1 John 1:9 has like tire tracks just, there's like holes in my Bible in 1 John 1:9 because I've had to go to it and ask the Lord to forgive me. Because if you confess your sins, he's faithful. Now, disobedience, we're not talking about people. There's people that, you know, can struggle with addictions, can struggle with habits, can just get into a pattern of wrong living. It's hard to get out of that. There's a difference between somebody saying, you know what, I know what's wrong, but I don't give a who. I don't give. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I'm going to keep doing it. As to somebody, compared to somebody who is, I'm really struggling with this over and over again, and it's happening over and over again. Help me, Lord. There's a difference there. God's not saying you have to be perfect in one day. God's not saying everything you're doing has to be cleaned up right now, but you ought to be heading in that direction. If you're not doing anything about it, that's the problem. And God is so merciful. And if you've messed up a million times, you repent to him a million and one, and he'll forgive you. He'll forgive you, and he'll forget it like it's never even been there. That's why he's so good. Hallelujah. And someone came up to me last night, and they said it was a miracle that this person was even in church. And they said, and there was so much mercy with the message. I always want to err on the side of mercy. I never want to, don't ever take the messages as being, well, that was condemning. God's never condemning you. He's always trying to bring you up higher. He wants you to become willing and obedient because he desires for his children to eat the good of the land. You know, if Caleb, when he gets older, and I don't have to really like watch everything he does, and let's say he's a 16-year-old boy, I say, buddy, it's not going to be good if you go stand in front of a semi. Right? And he goes and stands in front of a semi, that's going to grieve me and that's going to bother me. But you know what? I can't stop him from doing all the wrong things in his life. You understand what I'm saying? And I want him to do right, because if he does right and obeys that, he's not going to be a pancake on the road. You understand what I'm saying? Now, that's a crazy example, but it brings it out of what we're talking about here. Hallelujah. And so my life started to change financially, and every once in a while, I got to check up on myself. When things aren't working for me, I always, always look to myself first. Not out of condemnation. It used to be out of condemnation. Now it's out of a humbleness. Lord, am I missing it? If I am, show me. Because like I said, most of the times we know, but there are times where maybe we're not doing something right, where the Holy Ghost will point us to a verse, or the Holy Ghost will speak something in our heart and tell us what to do differently. And we need to obey those things. So I just encourage you, check up on your heart. Check up on things that are there. If you need to repent in anywhere, repent and ask for help. I'll get you verses. I'll get you help. I'll work with you. My goodness, I just want to see people blessed. And you're not going to have someone pointing down at you like you're terrible because you're going through something. Thank God for people to help us when we're going through something. Because there ain't a human being alive that hasn't gone through something. There ain't a human being alive who hasn't royally screwed up something in their life. And let me tell you something. I have royally screwed up things in my life before. I have. And thank God for his mercy and grace. He's so wonderful. So we'll pick up this part two next week, because now that was one way of how we get the good of the land. But next week I'm going to take it a step further, how we get that good of the land, that reigning in life, the next time I preach. So praise God. Let's go ahead and let's bow our heads. Father, we love you today. We thank you for your word. You helped us this morning. A little different than last night, a little different direction. But Father, I believe what you wanted said got said here. Hallelujah. We just praise you today, Father. We're just so thankful. Let's just enjoy him for a second. Let's just enjoy his presence for a second. You know, you could take this message the wrong way and say, oh boy, or you could take it, my God, he loves me. He loves me so much. Father, we love you. We praise you. We just magnify you. We glorify you, Master. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for correction. Father, it's the things we're doing wrong that are hurting us. Thank you for correcting us. Thank you for helping us. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for caring enough to put this on my heart, Lord, to help people. To help people, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Love you. We love you. We love you. We magnify you. Magnify you, Lord Jesus. Magnify you, Lord Jesus. Glorify you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. Magnify you. Bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. Worship you. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. 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 We praise you. Can't get away from that, Father. That's right. Yeah. Praise you, Lord. Now I'm going to ask somebody to obey this to come forward, because it's going to help the service, but you're going to get your supernatural healing. There's someone in here that's dealing with a neck problem. Now it could be, you know, maybe you slept wrong on it. Maybe it's just pain. But there's a neck issue. It's causing you problems. It's causing you pain. Come forward now and receive your healing. Don't delay. Just come forward and just I'll lay hands on you. Is it you? Praise God. Vinny, could you stand behind him, please? What's going on with your neck, brother? Giving you problems? Yeah, it was strong in my heart, that area. And actually, I started to kind of feel a little bit of like tension in my neck there. And Brother Hagin would talk about how if he'd walk by somebody and he'd get a pain in his hand, and he knows his hand's fine, and he would ask the person, is there something in your hand? And they'd say, yeah. And so sometimes you can actually feel what people are going through, and so it's supernatural. And so I'm going to lay hands on you, and the power of God's going to shoot through you, so get ready, Vinny. And you're going to be healed from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet, and it's going to touch your hip as well. It's not even just going to be for your neck, it's going to be for your hip. So just receive your healing, and from this point on, you say, I got it. I got it. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. That's why we just wait on him. Lord, I didn't know he had a neck problem. Didn't say anything to me about it. The Lord just said it. Actually, I'll be honest with you. I almost didn't call it out, because do you remember a couple weeks ago I called out a neck problem? And someone came up for the neck problem, but only one person came up. And so I was getting in my head about, say, I'm not calling that out. There ain't nobody in here with a neck problem. And it just would not leave me. Hallelujah. Praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anything else, Father, we just love you today. We praise you today. We glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. You're so good to us. Father, I just believe. Why am I really rushing it? Because I know that God's working on hearts right now. There's heart surgery going on here this morning. Praise God. Just love on him. Just worship him. Praise you, Lord. We bless you, Father. We praise you, Father. We magnify you. We glorify you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just let God work on you. Don't resist that. Don't resist that. Glory to God. We magnify you, Father. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Bless you, Father. Magnify you. So thankful for your goodness. So thankful for your goodness, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just let him work. We're not in a hurry. If you have a pressing thing, you can go, but I wouldn't if I were you.
Perfect in love, Lord you came to earth, you rescued me.
Surrender, he's dealing with hearts.
You took my place upon that cross. The stains that held me back were washed away.
He loves you.
You made me. Your love that set the broken captives free. Your love released the chains once binding me. I'm found in grace, in love's embrace. My heart is.
Give it to him, just surrender. It's only going to be good for you.
I stand redeemed. Your spirit now alive within my heart. I walk with you all of my days. I shall live to glorify you, God. Hear my soul rejoice. Your love has set the broken captives free. Your love released the chains once binding me. I'm found in grace, in love's embrace. My heart is overwhelmed. Sings my soul of how you love who set me free. My heart of how your mercy rescued me. Hear my cry of endless love to my Savior and to my King. My heart is overwhelmed. Sings my soul of how your love has set me. My heart of how your mercy rescued me. Hear my cry of endless love to my Savior and to my King. My heart is overwhelmed.
Michelle, you can hit pause. Pray to God. Ooh. Told you I was a crier, so get ready. Praise the Lord. You know, as I was on my knees, the Lord was speaking to me. Because we don't understand, like, us getting right and surrendering, that people are attached to that. Loved ones and people we don't even know yet. And I think about my life. And you know how many people that I've been able to affect because I got right and because I surrendered and did it His way. And that's not to pat me on the back. That will happen for anybody, but there was an opportunity for me not to do that and for me not to surrender, and it would have affected people. And Lord was saying this to me in my heart as I was on my knees, that there's loved ones and there's people that are around you, and not just family members, but people that are around you that depend on you surrendering and on you getting right, and you don't understand the influence and the effect that you could have. And now coming from a place of being unsurrendered to surrender, I can see the result. I can see that all the people that I've been able to influence and help and affect, and it's been so many people through my testimonies and different things, and just loving on people. And so I just encourage you, don't push against that. Don't let the devil take from you anymore. He's a liar. Those thoughts of I could never forgive, I could never do that, I could never give my life to you, Lord, those are just lies from the enemy that's trying to keep you out of the blessing. God just wants you to surrender and give your life to Him. And And so that anointing that you felt here, you might walk out of here and not feel it, or you might get in your car, go home, and those same fleshly feelings. Because when you're in the corporate anointing, it's so easy to feel the presence of God, and it's, don't forget it. It's not, it's just as real out there as it is in here. It's just more tangible sometimes in here. But begin now as you go out those doors to say, it's a different day, and I'm going to start doing things different. And if you need to repent, my God, just repent. God's not mad at you. Remember the prodigal son? The dad was on the porch. The son had spent all that dad gave him. He wasted his life away. And the son finally decided to come back, and he was coming back with his head hanging low. And his dad wasn't on the porch with a baseball bat, just wait till he gets here. He wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna read him the riot act when he gets back. No, the dad went sprinting after the son. God is just desiring for you to come back to him and in a full measure. And there's so many people that depend on you. Amen. Father, we love you. Let's pray. Father, we give you glory. Father, if there's anybody here listening or in this building that have never accepted Jesus, if you're listening, if you can hear my voice, whether by live stream or by in this building, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, say, what does that mean? Ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Ask yourself that. If the answer isn't heaven, that means you need Jesus, because heaven comes with Jesus. Say, how do I accept Jesus? Just believe in him. Just believe that he was. Believe that he died and rose again. But I haven't been perfect, so what? Nobody is. But I haven't gone to church enough, so what? You could never go to church enough to get accepted. So, well, I haven't lived the moral life. Well, so what? Your morality doesn't get you into heaven. Jesus does. So if you're listening or if you're here and you want to receive Jesus, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, don't let this moment pass you by. Nobody's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. We won't have you stand up. We won't have you come to the front. But if you want to know that you're saved and you want to start walking into this life that God has for you, would you just raise your hand right now if you want to receive Jesus? Anybody at all? How do you know that thing is just tugging at your at the inside of you? Anybody want to receive Jesus in this building? Father, I don't see any hands in here, but Lord, there might be people listening, or there might be people here that are shy. And if you're shy or if I can't see your face, just cry out to Jesus. You can get alone with him and just say, Lord, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart. And if you made that your prayer, you can go ahead and get a hold of us. There's an email on the website. You can call us, and we'll get you hooked up in a Bible-teaching church that will help you to start experiencing all that God has for his children. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence here this morning. Thank you for your goodness. We thank you for change. Lord, the anointing destroys the yoke. We thank you. Yokes were busted off. Bondages were broken. Chains were loose. Father, prison doors were flung wide open. And we just say this, devil, watch out. Watch out, because we're going to a higher level in God. We're going to the good of the land. Everybody say this with me. Say, I'm going to the good of the land. I'm going to eat the good of the land. I'm going to wear the good of the land. I'm going to think the good of the land. I'm going to live in the good of the land. Things are going to be different for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Have an awesome week. We love you, and have a good rest of the week.
Resound. Watch the waters part.